Somebody say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Has He been good to you? Has He taken you through the trials and the tests? He's a God of deliverance. Yes, hallelujah. And our love and our hope is in Him. Isn't it great to be in God's house? Why don't we just put our hands together one more time? Wait a minute. Brother Arthur, our pastor, thank God, and the whole family, give them a great big hand clap and let them know. Appreciate. Brother Kyle Wright is here. It drove me over this morning in the rain and the cold. Where are you at, Brother Wright? Wave at me. I can't see you. You got a mask on. You're not robbing any banks on this afternoon, are you? All right, got it. He is a businessman and a great Christian, and it was so nice of him this morning to drive through the rain. And we love you very, very much. Amen. Wow. This church, I felt the spirit of this church, and I just wanted to worship, and I hope I don't waste too much of your time just talking, and I'm glad to be here. Since I've retired, so to speak, let's say, not retired's a bad thing. What's another word? What's another word for, like, no, not a sabbatical. A what? No, not even a transition. It's something else. Anyway, whatever it is. And I've been able to be up in Wisconsin and Texas and been in some services, and I'm just enjoying it so much, and just seeing the saints of God and the pastors, and I feel the Holy Ghost in this place, and there's a joy. Put your hands together. Thank the Lord for how good He's been to us. Hallelujah, hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. Amen, 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 amen. I want to go to the Bible. I want to just talk to you, preach to you. I don't even know how we would say it today, but I feel a burden, as it might be said, to just talk and to think about some things that are very vital. All of us already know that we're in a time in not just in the United States, but the whole world. And there's a lot of confusion. So I'm going to try to talk to you, and hopefully by the help and anointing of the Holy Spirit, to just talk to us and preach to us and get focused on how God is able to deliver us and help us, and how He works. Now, how God works is mysterious. So if you think that I am going to tell you how God is going to work and help us and get through trials and all this stuff that's going on, I don't know. I don't think any of us know, but God knows. So by the help of the Holy Spirit, let me be able, perhaps, Lord, to just give something that will make us confidence that You are our keeper. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. It's almost 11 o'clock. Turn and shake hands with somebody and say, I hope Brother Mooney doesn't keep us out so we can get to the restaurants quickly. So give everybody a great big hello or something. Shake hands with somebody. Can we shake hands? Can we shake hands, or do you just have to hit people? Isn't it nice to be able to come to church and just hit people? Not too bad. Not too bad. You may be seated. Let's see. Now, if I keep this on, unfortunately, I think I will pass away or just faint, not pass away, but just faint. So, but my family, they're pretty fussy about me I thought I had a handkerchief. Seemed like I saw a handkerchief. Did I have a handkerchief over there? So there it is. This is very embarrassing. But the Lord knows. I got the presidents trying to tell me what to do. The new president telling me what to do. Governors tell me what to do. My kids are telling me what to do. I don't know how to put my thing on or take it off, or I just don't know what to do. I'm completely confused. So, how's that? The Lord moves in mysterious ways. Somebody said it's done by mysterious ways and amazing things that God does. And we don't always know how God is working. We don't know how God delivers the mail, so to speak, and give us the answers, or we don't know where our blessings even come from. We don't even know exactly what the future is going to be. We walk by faith and we trust in the Lord. That means that you don't always know. In fact, the apostles. Now, I don't want to read a lot from the Bible, but you today, let me just talk a little bit and it'll come together. But look in the book of Acts. And we'll see something very interesting there. And let's go to, say, about Acts number 9. You can look, you should maybe get home and read chapter 8, chapter 9, chapter 10. And I'm going to work some thoughts from that. But I don't want to read the whole thing. It takes a long time. But let us stop and just look at Acts chapter number 9 and see something that is very, very interesting. Jesus picked a person, a man by the name of Saul or Paul, and he became a leader in the movement. But the apostles, now you can find this if you want to in your Bible and read it. The apostles, when they heard that Jesus was going to make Paul, Saul, a leader of the whole thing that Christ was going to do upon this earth. He picked Paul. Is that not right, Bishop? Picked Paul. And Paul was a murderer. In fact, the people, the followers, the apostles that were with Christ, they, you read your Bible, they said to Christ, in this way, they said, do you know that he's been killing us? That he's been stopping us? He's been blocking us? He's been putting us in jail? Now you're telling us? He's going to be the leader? God moves in mysterious ways. We don't know much about what God is doing right now. So we can get up and say, oh, I believe all this is for this. No, you just ride it on out. Because you don't know. You don't know. I've had a hard thing to get through. But I don't understand it. I don't understand why bad things happen. Sometimes I don't even understand what good things happen. And I don't even know if things that are happening, are they good or bad? Somebody said you just have to wait on the Lord. Sometimes you just have to put it all in the hands of God. Because we don't understand. Do you realize that our God, our Savior, our Redeemer, right now, may be putting together a revival that will sweep across this world like we have never seen before? But you say, look at us. Look at us and all of these masks on our faces and all of these things that are being said by politicians, blah, 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 blah. Wouldn't you like to kick some of them right in the head? No. I mean, well, you know, sometimes you're a real man. You just want to knock somebody out, you know. I don't know what to do. But thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for saving our soul. Thank you, Lord, for making a way when there seems to be no way. Thank you, Lord, when I run out. You help me with the money and help with the blessings. What a mighty God we serve. And He's in this place. I can tell you, I can feel the Holy Ghost in this place. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody needs to believe in this place that God is going to make a way. If you've got your Bible out, Saul or Paul in Acts chapter 9 saw yet breathing out the threatenings and what else? Slaughter against who? The disciples of the Lord. And he went unto the high priest and he just kicked everything up bad. And verse number 15, look at that. The Lord said to one of the apostles, bear my name with the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. You do what I tell you to do. And this man, even though he's been doing dark things, he's the one that's going to make a difference in your life. We've got to make it clear that we need God. And we need God in every way. We can't afford to just play around. I ran across something. I don't think I've ever talked about this. But a long time ago, up in Mission, my brother was in business and he had boats and all that kind of stuff. And so we would go out on Lake Michigan when I was a small boy. And my brother, he was quite a fisherman and he ran a big company for somebody. He didn't own the company, but he was well known in Paw Paw, Michigan. You ever heard of Paw Paw, Michigan? Lived there. He had businesses there. He had a place where he could fix clothing, what do you call that, a cleaners. He had a cleaners, a bunch of other stuff. But here's what he said about boating. I would go up on the summer and do the boating and having a good time. And along the way, little signs and people would hammer things around about boating and about going out on the water and being careful. And there was a little sign as you went out in Paw Paw, Michigan, and you were going out on Lake Michigan. There was a little sign there. It wasn't, what I'm going to quote to it is not exact perfect, but over the years I've just kind of written it down in different ways, and I'm not sure that it's completely accurate, and I don't even know if it's still there. But here is what Christ, I believe, in the 9th chapter was trying to say as the boat boys were doing up in Paw Paw, Michigan when I was just a boy. It goes like this. If you're out on the boat to drift, just out to drift, there is no energy necessary, no effort to drift. You can just get in a boat and the little sign somewhere on the pier, I don't know exactly where it was at, I scribbled it down, carried it around, this little saying for, I don't know, 50 years or so. And there it was. And it was in the boathouse. And it finally wedged its way into my thinking. It stayed with me. Drifting, just drifting, requires no effort. You can just get in your boat and float. I would like to say to the church, and I would like to preach it clearly, there is no way we can get anything done as long as we are drifting. Jesus said, I'm going to give you a man, and his name is Saul, Paul. And he assured them he would not drift. In fact, one of the apostles, read it when you get a chance, said, what in the world, I'm saying it now in my own language, he said, what in the world are you doing? This man is killing people. He's throwing us in jail and doing everything. And Jesus said, listen, he is going to be my man. And you boys are just drifting. But there's a man, yes, there's a man that you know is a pretty rough fellow, but he's not going to drift. Your church can't drift. Our organization cannot afford. I wish I could get some help in this place. You can't drift. When it's time to go to church, be a church. When you need to pray, you need to pray. When it's time to worship, lift up your hands. You know what I liked about your church today? You weren't drifting. People were singing up here. They were singing their parts and their places, but it was all put together. I could feel the Holy Ghost in that. But once you start just kind of drifting any old way, you're not going to get very much done. And so my brother's little place where he parked his boat also had a sign up there somewhere. I don't know exactly how it was, but it went like this. Drifting is an unconscious process. You can get in your boat and sleep. You can go to church and sleep. Now, I don't want to criticize anybody that comes to church and take a nap. If you're here and you're tired, take a nap. It's better than anything at all. And if you're tired, sometimes the pastor's a little tired himself. And if he's sleeping while he's preaching, it's okay for you to preach or sleep while he's preaching too. But I've slept through a few sermons, maybe this one right here, kind of sleeping through it. Something's got to set our soul on fire. Something's got to change us from the ordinary to the extraordinary. Somebody's got to say we need the anointing and the power and the touch of God. We need a fresh song, a new song. We need a way. We need an answer to it. And we can't just drift. Drifting is an unconscious process. You don't have to think. You don't have to think when you come to church. You can just sit there. I've known people that just kind of snooze away. That's all right. It's better than nothing, maybe. But drifting is never, never going to change your life. Another little thing on the sign said, if you drift, You will drift, but never, never upstream. It's always, drifting is always downstream. Whether it's your life, your business, your church, you can't just drift. Drifting never gets you into the battle, upstream. Never shows you an answer. Even in business, if you just drift, you'll never get an answer to how you're going to make some money and live it through. Drifting is never upstream. It is always downstream. Not coming to church always kicks you back. It always hurts you. It causes you to lose some ground. When you don't read this Bible, you know, we're in a time right now when I don't really think we've got things figured out very well. And sometimes we believe that we can just, you know, have an answer for everything. Drifting is never upstream. It always is downstream. And drifting is dangerous to other people. If you have a boat, you need to know how to park that boat. Bring it in to the pier. And you can go up on the lakes here in Michigan, and in Michigan nearby. Indiana, unfortunately, doesn't have very much water, but you're not far away. And those boats are very careful about how they work their boats and how they get things done. And they know that it's dangerous. They have to be careful because if they go the wrong ways and do it the wrong way and so forth, and it can end in a wreck. A ship, even a big ship, can wreck if they don't know exactly what they're doing. What if we don't do? Where are you at? Somebody can help me. I gave you a little thing, Brother Wright. Where are you at?
He's over there.
Way over there. Thank you, by the way. Give Brother Wright a big hand clap and thank you for coming. Okay? Sometimes we just, what is this? It's a ball. Can you catch it? Okay? One of you? Let's all three of you. Up on the front row and just line up. Kind of line up. No, just down this way a little bit. I'm going to pitch this to you. Go this way. No, don't stand together. Now, are you going to have to give this back? No, son, are you? Spread out. No, it's not your fault. Spread out. Spread out. Spread out. You guys like one another. Spread out. All right, that's good. That's good. All right, this is pretty cool. Come up. This is a really cool thing. And can you catch this? Okay, you ready? You ready? You have to help him a little bit. It's just a little rubber ball. Catch it. Right? You better come up and help me. Hard to get help around here. Is McDonald's open on the way home? I mean, you know, I'm kind of... You ready? What was that? Better give that back. Nobody can catch a ball here. It's just a little rubber ball. Gentlemen, stay right there. It's a dangerous church. All right. Say, how old are you? Let's see how you can do. Pretty good. Try it again. Try it again. Now you just look so smart, don't you? Thank you. This is the craziest ball that has ever been produced. I think it must have come from China. I'm going to send this to Trump. He would really like it. Oh! What we look like trying to do church all by ourselves. Because this is a tricky thing. And once we start thinking, we start drifting. And we get pretty crazy. And what we think is going to be easy is not so easy. What happened to it? All right, there it is. I don't want you to steal it. It's just crazy. It's a trick little thing. And they're hard to find. As a matter of fact, I've given so many of them away that I can't even find them anymore. I had to call somebody recently from down in Mississippi because the superintendent took it and didn't give it back to me. So I had to call him up and say, give me back my rubber ball there. It's a nice tricky little thing, and he did. You had it in a little sack. I said, we got to send it back to him because I give it to him, and it was a gift. Now I got to give it back, and I don't have one. But it's a great little illustration, isn't it? You see, what Jesus had to do, he had to set his disciples down and tell them, look, you can't drift through this thing. As a matter of fact, you've got to depend upon me. Thank you, gentlemen. I was tricking. That was a trick. That's a trick. I hope you could find one of those. We tried on the internet. If you find one, send me one. I really would enjoy it because I have a lot of fun with it. I want us to know and understand that this is a time in which we live that we can never just take things for granted. Somewhere we've got to reach out and find a fresh anointing and a help that comes from the Lord. And we can't just play around. Drifting ends up in a shipwreck. When we start thinking we can have church without anointing and power and the Holy Ghost, we've got to have a moving of the Holy Ghost. Enter into His courts with praise and thanksgiving. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. There's only one Redeemer, one way, one message. Hang on to it. See, we could really get these young men frustrated. Because if every time we throw them an idea, every time we say something, could you do it for me again? Just come up and just see if you can trick some of these men. This is what the devil wants to do to us. He wants to trick us. He wants to make it impossible. But the great Christ that put together his helpers and his preachers, so to speak, and those of the men who Christ wanted to turn them the world upside down. He had to give them somebody like an apostle Paul, who could turn the world upside down. And you're going to follow him. Read that carefully, because we've got to have an attitude that says, whatever it takes, whatever God wants us to do, missionary work is not done out of a book. It's not even done at headquarters, because they can send you someplace in the world and you never figure out exactly how it's going to work. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. Hallelujah. They shall run and not be weary. They shall. Woo! Hallelujah. Come on, church, you're not out of business. The revival is not over. But we got to get our little tools. Put down our little boxes and our little things and our little driftings and our little tricks. We just got to get something that works. Now, if I had another little one of those and it was perfect, it wasn't a trick, we could pitch. I don't have one. Does anybody have a good one? No? Well, there's a white hat I could throw around up there. Is that yours? Ooh. No, he looks serious about that. I'd keep that close to me if I was you. That's a pretty thing. The church must be awakened. I don't know how to tell you to awaken, to get us back. We've got to stop drifting. We've stopped. You know, I have been using a little phrase. I get some hash from it. It's not everybody likes it. But you cannot turn church into theater. This is not a theater. We're not here to pretend. We're here to sing, but we're not here to sing in some way that's professionally or theatrical. I like to use the word theatrical because you can have theatrical preaching and you can have theatrical this and this, but you've got to wait on the Lord. You've got to find a way for us to function in the Spirit. You've got to choose the one that Jesus said He's going to make a difference in your life. And somebody, read it. One of the apostles came up and said, He's been killing us, man. He's been doing everything. And He put us in jail. This is the guy that's going. And Jesus said, this is how it's going to be done. They that know how to trust in God. Not that you know God, how He works. But you have to trust Him, Bishop. How many times have you had to trust Him? Things can happen in your life and you have don't even have an answer. But you just say, God, what in the world? For me, I just lost my wife. I have to ask, what is this, man? What is this going through? Why is this happening to me? I don't know. You just have to put it in God's hand and just say, not my will, but thy will be done. You ever had to say that? I don't have it all figured out, but God's with you. He's going to make a way. He's going to bless. I watched your little children up there. My goodness, the pastor was giving a little touch, and that could last forever. So we've got to get into the place. I like to tell this story. My sister had a restaurant in Greenfield, Indiana, not too far from here. And she had a store. I'm going to give you a short version of it. Her husband was a drunk. She was trying to get this little cafe, and it was pretty good. I worked there, and all of our family worked there at different times. But her husband fought her every way, and she was trying to get the little cafe downtown Greenfield, Indiana. And she was trying to get it going and couldn't get it going. And sometimes her husband would come in and just tear it up. But one day, there was a man that came in. And the man was kind of an old-looking man. And it was a little past breakfast. I was there. And he said, what is your name? And my sister's name was Dottie. They called her Dottie. Everybody in downtown Greenfield, Indiana knew her. The little store is still there. And bankers and other people would come in the morning and so forth. So my sister and her husband didn't get along. He was a drunk, and she just smoked herself to death, and she was a hard worker. But nothing was doing good, too good in that little restaurant. And this man came by, and we gave him something to eat, said he was hungry, and he was walking down the road, and he was planning to go out into the desert. And he said he just needed a little something to eat. And then he wanted to spend the night. My sister said, you can't spend the night here. And he said, well, just let me sleep here. And she wouldn't. So at night, she went out, and I was supposed to lock him out. And he wouldn't leave. And he went in the back of the store, and he stayed there. And he was, after my sister left, he came and he said, what's your name? Paul. He said, no, your name's not Paul. Your sister called you Polly. Is your name Paul or your name Polly? And I said, well, my name is Paul. He said, well, quit calling yourself Polly. I don't use the word Polly. Please don't say it because I'll hit you. He said, I want to start calling you Paul. He was trying to lift me up. And he took me in the back of that restaurant, and he started washing all the junk that was back there. And he was working like crazy. And he said, we're going to have a totally different restaurant. We worked all night. I went down and got stuff at the store. And he brought in and he started to put out some stuff that I never had. I didn't even know what a certain type of thing was. What is one of those things that it's like you fix it with eggs and an omelet. We didn't even know what an omelet was. He said, we're going to do omelets. I didn't even know what an omelet was. And she just cooked food, you know, fried eggs, about all she did, and hamburgers. Omelets? You're going to do omelets? And he put me to washing old stuff, dirty pots that we had, and he cleaned the whole restaurant. And the next day, when my sister come in, she was unbelievably mad that he had done all that stuff, and she didn't hardly know what an omelet was either. And she wouldn't let him stay anymore. And he gave him some more lessons. It's kind of a little long story, but I'll shorten it up right here. And my sister couldn't do anything but throw him out, and she threw him out. A long time went by. And one day, three officers came to Greenfield, Indiana. And they said, "Are you Olita?" And she said, "Yes, I'm Olita, state patrolman. And she said, "Yes, that's my name." And they said, "Well, there was a man that went out into the desert, and he was hit by a car, and he died out there. And he had nothing in his billfold. He had just a little money, and he had a name, Olita Brown." And the police came and said, "Olita Brown, we finally found an Olita Brown in the state of Indiana." And they said, "Are you Olita?" And she said, "Yes, I'm Olita." He said, "Well, we're trying to find out this guy, find out about him. We want to know who he was. Do you know anything about him?" Well, she knew a little bit about him, and she enlightened them about what she knew. He said, "Well, we've already done some research on this man. All we had was a couple numbers, and all we had was you, and we've traced him already. He is a man that works at the White House as one of the cooks. He wasn't the top one, but he was one of the cooks. We looked it all out. A man's working on it right now at Greenfield Reporter. The man worked in the White House. No wonder we had that place. We had omelets. We had clean pots for the first time. I was the pot cleaner. We didn't know he worked at the White House." This is a true story, ladies and gentlemen, if I ever told you one. And they searched him out. And we didn't know that we had in our business, what? A chef. And where did he work? The White House. And if she had had that information that went through Greenfield, Indiana, there's no telling how much money she would have made. But instead, my brother-in-law crashed it all up. You never know who's walking up beside of you. Jesus said, "Paul's going to come." And he knows. What I want to say to you, to me, to all of us, to our churches, we've got to let God work in our life. It's not you and I that are going to put it together. Whatever happens in these last days, it's not going to be your education. It's not going to be your talent. And we can say, "Oh, we need this kind of thing and this kind of thing." You can have a great church with all the music, but if it's not anointed, your missionary work proves it's not about going overseas and having a few little meetings. Somewhere, the Holy Spirit's going to have to move into the operation. And Apostle Paul has to come in. And you have to get out of the way. And you have to believe that all things are possible. Where could this church go? Where could Calvary go? Where can the church where I pastored up in Michigan for many, many years? All the growth that's ever come from any place I know around the world has always been at the place where we quit drifting, quit acting, quit trying to think that we're something special. And let's put aside the theater and try to get the choir to just be perfect. Let the Holy Ghost fall. Don't worry about it so much. We've got a God that will make a difference in this place. It could be very quickly that this place is full on every Sunday and every time you gather here. No telling what the Lord is going to do. But I want to tell you this. If you just got a crazy ball and you don't know what you're doing, you're just throwing it around, you're never going to get anywhere. It's going to pop around everywhere. Nobody's going to be able to get a feel for it. You understand what I'm saying? But oh, if we just would take the little sign that my brother had next to his boat. And I should have listened to it much more carefully when I was up in Paw Paw, Michigan, in my brother's. I didn't like working in his cleaner either. But I did like going out to the boathouse. Drifting requires no effort. Drifting is an unconscious process. It doesn't work. Drifting is never upstream. We have to go downstream. If we won't paddle right, we'll just float away. Drifting is dangerous for other people because you'll be boating out of control. And dripping ends in shipwreck. Let us put our hands right now. Just put your hands up. And let's pray that God will lift us. God will put us in a place in which we can be blessed as never before. Lord, I'm praying now for everyone in this place that has raised up their hands, that wants to be a contributor. We don't know what to do. We don't know how to solve all these problems in this country, in this world. But in every opportunity, there is a victory. But we must not drift. We've got to get up, be faithful, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, and don't ever stop going where you need to go. We are being tricked in these last days. We are seeing a great entity that is dark and using all kinds of attachments and ideas. And I sat next to the Indiana man that is in the meeting, and he is what's the guy that's in charge of the city?
Mayor. Governor.
You're very bright. The mayor. So I said to the mayor, I said, this guy was talking. He talked about 40 minutes, and the mayor was tired. I was tired. Everybody in the room was tired. I said, "Are you okay?" He said, "Well, I'm a little tired." I said, "What's the one thing that's really bothering you in the city of Indianapolis?" He said, "Pastor, porno and children are the most terrible things that we're facing." He said, "We can't get it calmed down. And the internet's and what's it's doing to us." Now, we have got a big, big, horrible monster that's working in this world. And we all know it. I don't have to preach it and talk about it because I don't want children to get mixed up on this. But we're going to have to find a way to stop drifting into unrighteousness and drifting into pornography and all that. I'm telling you, these people that are in the cities, they're frightened. And you know what really he added to? He said, "We know Calvary pretty well, Calvary Tabernacle," he said, "but what is really sad in our city, we're seeing so many churches being closed, Catholic churches, every bit, Assemblies of God. We've got to awaken. Drifting is not going to get this done." Maybe Apostle Paul has to come along and say, "Come on, boys. We can figure out a way to get out of the jail. Now you just start praying a little bit, and here's what we're going to do. We're going to go down on the streets and we're going to start talking about who Jesus is. And we're going to lift up the name that is above every name. Don't you worry. God will make a way. And whatever I was, I'm still not that. I'm not that anymore. God has changed my life. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus." How many want to see this church and our church and every church and blossom like it never has before? But drifting, just drifting through this is not the time. Not the time. I say it again from my brother's little place. Drifting requires no effort on your part. Drifting is an unconscious process. Drifting is never upstream, but downstream. Drifting is dangerous to others because it gets out of control. I'm going to give you a Pentecostal example. Drifting is dangerous because it's out of control. Trying to speak in tongues just because you can kind of fake it is not an answer. Let the Spirit come. Wait on the Lord, because you can make things very dangerous for other people. You can't teach a child how to speak in tongues. Stop this business. Stop this business. Drifting ends in shipwrecking. I can't tell you how much I've enjoyed being with you today. I know I'm not screaming and hanging anything up all that important, but I do have a heavy burden. Trust God, because God may send somebody from the White House, so to speak, to make a difference in your life. I do know this. God is with us. And if God be for us, Pastor, who can be against it? I pray for you, your family. There's a wonderful, beautiful spirit in this church. And you know what I think? I think God's going to do something really great in this city. Don't be discouraged. Don't try to figure it out. Just go to church, worship, praise the Lord, magnify everything you can, lift up the name of Jesus Christ. And I believe we'll have a revival. I believe God will move on us. Come on, raise your hands and say, God, whatever it takes. But you need more than just a silly idea. You need more than just one of those silly things. You could never get that pitched, but you got to have something that really works. God bless you. Thank you for letting me be here on this Sunday morning. I believe in this church. God's going to bless you in a great way.